Good evening, everybody. This is Veronica Entwistle, and you have tuned into Paradigm Shifter. Today's Paradigm Shifter is really an exciting man who's literally vibrationally shifting the paradigm, meaning he's really working with the frequencies of individuals, but also techniques for shifting frequencies. So all of that imposes itself and raises the field and frequencies of the paradigm that we're living in as a collective. Welcome to Stephen Pollitt. How are you?
Just fine. Thank you, Veronica.
Yeah, and Stephen is, his big thing right now is fusion, source, energy, medicine. So I'm going to get, and your book called Heal Thyself, which I think is a really stunning book. So welcome to the show, and how did you get going in all this, Stephen?
Well, thank you, Veronica, for having me on your show. I'm excited to be here. I've studied a number of different holistic health methodologies over the years and found gaps or shortcomings with almost everything that I was practicing. And I just continued to ask really big questions like, why does healing have to take so long? Why does it have to cost thousands of dollars?
Did you find a simple answer? Sort of, yeah.
I believe we did, yeah. And you know, over time, as the answers came to me divinely, I realized that it was essentially a healing methodology that I was being shown and being given, and that was the foundation for what we now call Source Energy Medicines. And the book.
And were you already a practitioner of healing?
Yes. Yeah, I started studying nutrition, and my nutrition practice evolved from there as my clients became more and more challenging.
So the crux of your work is actually radionics, would you say that?
It operates on the principles of radionics, although we don't use a radionics machine. When most people hear the word radionics, they think of a radionics instrument.
Right.
The theory or the principle behind radionics is the same theory that prayer works on, or even thought for that matter. It's intention that's being broadcast from one place to another place. So it is, in fact, a theory of radionics that we use, although we don't use a radionics machine, if that makes sense.
Yes, so it's intentional work that you're doing.
Yes, exactly.
But it's vibration. From my perspective, it's vibrational. It's almost a material thing that you're literally moving to create a better well-being, to move dis-ease densities into much higher frequency. Am I right?
That's absolutely correct. Yeah, from my perspective, everything is vibration. Everything in the physical world that we see is vibration. And, you know, physics is the study of physical matter, and metaphysics takes things one step further and goes into studying things that are not in the physical world, things that we can't see with our eyes, and sometimes we can't test with scientific instruments. But everything that is in the physical world is the same energy, just vibrating at different frequencies, and the molecules are clustered and arranged in different forms, and that's why.
And they're arranged by our thoughts and feelings and attitudes.
Yes, exactly. And to me, it starts to get interesting when we talk about vibration or frequency. If we can actually calibrate it, which we do, and we've adopted a scale that Dr. David Hawkins has developed and has been using over the past 35 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And on his scale, it's a scale of 0 to 1,000, and it's a scale that's based on logarithms. And 200 is the dividing line between something that would be beneficial or helpful and something that would not. So if a particular substance calibrated above 200, it would actually be helpful or beneficial. If it calibrated below 200, it would not be. So all disease, all imbalance, or essentially lack of anything calibrates below 200. So if I have a particular disease or I have lack in any area of my life, there's an aspect of my being that is a vibrational matchup to that and calibrated below 200.
Have you been able to calibrate people who are functioning below 200?
I apologize. Please repeat that.
Have you been actually calibrating people? Have you been checking out what it's like when someone has, for example, a really deep illness or depression or a lot of anger?
Yes.
You have?
Yes. And I hope to someday have the research staff available to be able to calibrate every known disease. In other words, just, you know, go right down the list starting at A and calibrate every known disease. I have a theory that in order to manifest a particular disease, especially if it's something that runs in your family, if it's something that's genetic,
mm-hmm.
in order to manifest that disease, you have to be an exact vibrational matchup to that on the physical level and stay at that vibration for some time.
And I think what I read in your book is that we can have the markers in our DNA of a particular inherited illness, but we don't necessarily get it unless there's an exchange in the environment or something that happens that's environmental to trigger what? The loss?
That's exactly right. So if I have MS running in my family, and say I have 7 siblings, what determines which siblings would manifest MS is essentially whoever becomes a vibrational matchup to that disease.
Okay.
And a lot of it has to do with our belief system. So if my father had MS and his brother had MS and his father had MS and it all happened when they were in their early 30s, and throughout my entire 20s I keep thinking, oh boy, I better get ready because when I turn, you know, when I get to my 30s, I'm going to start experiencing MS, you know, the likelihood of that happening is very, very high.
Hmm.
But essentially all of those thoughts and the fear of MS would eventually get me to calibrate at a particular rate or frequency, and then when my cells multiply or create daughter cells, it's unwinding the DNA and finding the parts of the DNA that are a vibrational matchup. So if I'm calibrated below 200 on a physical level, every time my cells multiply, it's pulling parts of the DNA out that are calibrated below 200.
Hmm.
So the cells are then going to rebuild my organs, functions, and systems, and over time, disease will develop. And conversely, if I shift my energy level from below 200 to above 200 as my DNA unwinds, it's going to look for parts and aspects of the DNA that are calibrated above 200.
Well, I want to go in two directions right now. One of them is to go back in time and say, okay, you were a nutritionist.
Yes.
Can you not shift? Could we not have fed ourselves to a higher frequency? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you check out the frequency of some fast foods, it's pretty low, isn't it?
It is, yeah. There's no question. Most of the food that you buy in the average grocery store is essentially dead. It's completely denatured, very little nutritional value. And, that's one way that our energy level gets lowered. And, you know, if I have an organic farm and eat all lovingly grown organic fruits and vegetables and eat only animals that are happy animals, if I choose to eat animals, that's certainly going to have a positive effect on my physical energy level.
Hmm. And it will actually change your frequency.
It can. It absolutely can. There's no question about it.
But that's not the route you took, is it?
I found personally that for me it wasn't enough. And I used to think I needed remedial versions of everything that I tried because I didn't seem to get as far or achieve as much as I really, really wanted to. And what I realized was that my thoughts and feelings and emotions have way more power and way more influence on my overall experience, every aspect of my being, than what I'm eating or my meditation or my prayer or studying yoga or Tai Chi, things like that.
Like saying, I wonder if this is going to do anything at all, it's probably going to hold back its bounty.
Yeah, or if, you know, I do have if I do eat only organic food and I meditate and I pray every day, but then, you know, the rest of the day my thoughts are fear-based, and I'm involved in a lot of judgments. Judgments I've come to understand as judgments and fear are the two fastest ways to lower your energy level.
Hmm.
And most humans, in my experience, live constantly judging everything that we do. It's, you know, it's a way of assessing, is this good, is it bad, in every moment of our life. And most of the time, our behavior is motivated by fear. And we could actually look at every thought you have, every action you take, every behavior you have, and trace it back and boil it down to what's the emotion that's behind this. And it's always going to come down to either fear or love.
Hmm.
And it could be a variation of those two, but it's always going to be fear or love. And fear, you know, is a very motivating influence, and good rarely comes from it.
Well, my guides were talking to me recently about how, this is in a different context, but I think it's relevant here, that we come from a very defensive species. It tends to be, by nature, particularly defensive, and we're trying to learn to get out of that. Does that make sense?
I totally agree with that. Yeah, and it's a great way of justifying why I am motivated by fear of fill in the blank.
Yeah, I like to mention things like that to people because it's not because I'm broken, it's because we're trying to rise out of a kind of a primordial thing in a way.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I firmly believe that this is an abundant universe, that mm-hmm. the higher being that is orchestrating all of this wants nothing but good for all of us. None of us are here to suffer. Mm-hmm. None of us are here to learn from our disease. It's not. I totally do not believe it's very old energy to think I keep attracting this cancer and that disease so I can learn, so I can then help others. And
so while I can suffer.
Yes, I do learn from every physical challenge I have. That's not the point. And I agree. I completely agree. Our bodies are designed to be self-correcting, self-balancing, and self-healing. Hmm. And we've just gotten confused as to exactly how to do that.
Now, something else, another kind of jumping around here, is I think I understood in your book that you express that each of us has a kind of a, deep down in our soul journey, we have a certain frequency, which when we live in that frequency will bring us to our greater work or our purpose. Is that right?
That is correct. Yeah, from working with hundreds and hundreds of clients and doing energetic assessments of their current energy level, we realize that, and actually part of this comes from Dr. Hawkins' research. He's calibrated a lot of historical figures, and I started putting two and two together. There's no one who's intended or ideal energy level for this aspect of this lifetime is below 200.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, according to Dr. Hawkins' research, 87% of the human population calibrates below 200.
So what you're saying is that our intrinsic potential vibration is not below 200.
That's
correct. It's just our reactive self.
That's correct. That's where we ended up out of experiencing life and sort of fumbling around in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every one of those people who calibrates below 200, 87% of the human population is over 5 billion people, each one of those people has an ideal energy level. And my belief is that it's tied to the soul contract that we came into this incarnation with, essentially the lesson we chose to work on in this lifetime.
Now, but would you say that because we kind of are shoulder to shoulder so much that we keep kind of a mean or an average collective around us, which we absorb and live part of too?
Yes, to a certain degree, and no. I mean, yes, if you're a highly sensitive person, you could take on the energy levels of another. But, you know, mathematically speaking, if 87% of the human population calibrates below 200, the likelihood of you spending most of your waking hours with someone calibrated below 200 is very great.
Hmm.
Now, the interesting thing is that because this is a scale that's based on logarithms, there's a counterbalancing effect that occurs with the 13% of the human population that calibrates above 200. So with each person who increases their energy level from below 200 to above 200, they help to actually neutralize and counterbalance the negativity of the folks who are calibrated below 200. So I'm not accepting credit for the way this past election went, but I do believe it's a sign of what we're doing, what the effect of what we're doing by each person who increases their energy level from below 200 to above 200 is creating this hope for change that everyone in this country seems to want. And it certainly gives me the greatest hope and optimism that I've had for our future in a long, long time. And I look forward to the day when the tables are completely turned, when it's 87% of the human population is calibrating above 200.
Haven't we been told for a long time that that is going to happen? heaven on earth sort of thing?
It's inevitable. There's no two ways about it. We can't go back. And mathematically speaking, it's simply a matter of time. And source energy medicine is not the only way to increase your energy level from below 200 to above 200. It's one way that we've figured out, and we're able to achieve that with anyone, regardless of where they start, in about a 30-day period of time, which is quite remarkable.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I always believe that, and I am a sensitive, that I can get lambasted by other people's energy, but I also believe that as we raise our frequency, we really pass that on, and we generate that and activate that in other people.
Yeah, it's just like the stories that you hear when Christ would go to a certain village, everyone was uplifted.
And people would be suddenly healed, because just as you express here, is that if you raise your frequency and head toward the divine, all kinds of illnesses go away, right?
Absolutely, simply through the law of attraction. If you're calibrated above 200 on every aspect of your being and you maintain that, you cannot experience disease. It's impossible to attract a disease because it's kept vibrationally, there's too much of a gap between disease and you.
Well, sticking your finger in a socket isn't going to do it, is it?
No. I've tried several approaches similar to sticking my finger in the socket.
I'm sure as an inventor, as a scientist, you would have done that. You know?
I am the consummate experimenter, and I'll try most anything that makes logical sense to me. And that's the thing about all of about source energy medicine. To me, it just makes so much sense. It's very logical. It's very straightforward. It's very easy.
It's almost linear, isn't it?
It is very linear. And yet it's working completely on a quantum level. The science behind it is very, very, very complex. But it's very straightforward and very simple and easy for anyone to incorporate into their lives.
So, hey, are you a scientist?
I don't have any science degrees, mm-hmm. although for the past 12 years or so, I have spent my every waking moment with my nose in both medical textbooks and science books. So I am a self-educated scientist, and that is a huge area of interest for me, as well as medicine and healing in general.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, so now one of the things I was reading, and you had a list which I can't seem to steal off at this point. If you're going to calibrate, and we would like to talk about calibration and what you do for that, but if you're going to calibrate someone's energy, you calibrate, what, 8 or 10 categories, and then not just like, da-da, put your finger here and we'll figure out what your energy fields are, right?
Yeah, the general calibration that we begin with is an overall assessment of the person, and that takes into account every single aspect of their being, so mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, and every subtle aspect, and there are hundreds of them.
So how do you do it?
I am a master dowser, so I use dowsing mm-hmm. to calibrate the person's energy level, and I work from photographs. People email me their photographs or mail me their photographs, and I use that to tap into their energy field.
Hmm.
So I do an overall assessment of their energy level, and then I look at what their ideal energy level for this aspect of this lifetime would be. And as you mentioned earlier, to me, if the person does nothing other than achieve that, so if a person comes in and they're calibrated at 42 and their ideal energy level is 565, that is so much of a gap that their life is filled with a lot of confusion, a lot of ambiguity. Even if they start to awaken to a higher calling and a lot higher purpose, there's a lot of confusion and not a lot of clarity. Whereas if when they shift their energy level to their ideal energy level, all of a sudden life becomes graceful, it stops being a struggle, synchronicities become more and more and more common, and literally miracles happen on a daily basis. At that point, purpose or reason for being here becomes very clear, and people almost line up to support you in your process. So closing that gap and achieving an ideal energy level is the main goal of our work.
And is there a limit to our ideal energy? Like maybe if your ideal is 500, does that mean that's a lid?
No, not at all. And in fact, most people who I work with want to exceed that just to see what it feels like or see if there's any difference. And I've asked hundreds of questions around that. If, you know, universally, from a universal law perspective, can we do that? And going higher can't hurt anything. And ultimately, you know, the higher you go, the closer to pure positive energy you become. And a lot of people who I work with also have part of what happens is when they achieve their ideal energy level, they actually complete a soul contract within a short period of time, usually 6 months to a year, and then start working on a new soul contract, and a new soul contract usually has a much higher energy level attached to that.
Hmm. I mean, if you get to that point, then you've dealt with your soul contract?
You're able to deal with it and see it and actually accomplish it.
And well, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, then, let's talk more about calibration. And, you know, can you tell us some stories about people that you've dealt with that have been frustrated or flummoxed and have been changed, or has this happened for you?
Absolutely. There, one woman in particular I knew for several years. She is she works as a healer and very, very, very talented, very gifted, and for probably 10 years was constantly challenged with one form of cancer or another.
Oh my.
And she was able to heal one form, and the doctors would give her a clean bill of health, only to, within a very short period of time, have another cancer manifest. And it was usually lumps that she could physically feel in her body. And that went on for about 10 years. The good news is she was able to keep herself alive. The bad news is she was constantly chasing these cancers and these tumors. So when she increased her energy level and did other things as well, which we can talk about, she broke that pattern. She broke the cycle. She cleared the energy field that was attracting the cancers in the first place. So she has, for over 4 years now, been completely cancer-free, not a lump or a bump in her body, and you know, just experiences vibrant health.
In that kind of experience, would you say that a person is tripped up and then her energy drops and that's when she becomes susceptible?
No, what happens is most healing methodologies and allopathic medicine for that matter, they combat disease. So if a particular approach is only going to combat a disease, short term they can have positive effect because it's nullifying the energy pattern of the issue, if we just use cancer as the example. So by combating it and nullifying it, you're creating a void in the world of physics. You can't have a void. The void has to be filled with something.
Right.
And if you don't do anything to shift the energy level or the frequency of that void, it's going to be filled with something very, very similar to what occupied it prior to that. So if that void is calibrated at 87 and a particular cancer is occupying that space, and you combat it and nullify it, that space is still calibrated at 87, even though disease may not be manifest, but within a very short period of time, it's going to be filled with something also calibrating at 87. And her cancers varied in what the doctors would call them, but if I calibrate them, they all calibrated at exactly the same frequency. So she was doing nothing to increase the energy level of the attractor field that instigated the manifestation of the issue in the first place. So I kept seeing it as a hamster on the wheel. You know, sure, the hamster's making a lot of very busy and moving really fast, but he's really not getting anywhere.
How long was the it's like a retraining of the vibrational. It's sort of. I mean, what did you do? Did you keep, and I guess that's the thing we haven't talked about. What did you do once you've recognized where her energy fields are?
So one of the, we have basically five different series of remedies. One is called energy level progression, and there's a series of nine remedies that is taken, and there's special directions that one follows. And they're taken sequentially, and these nine remedies actually shift the energy level from on every aspect of your being from below 200 to above 200. And you take each remedy one at a time sequentially. So within a 27-day period of time, you're shifting everything that's within your being that's calibrated below 200 to above 200.
So you take them for a 3-day, each one for 3 days?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of 27 days, every aspect of your being has been shifted from below 200 to above 200. And it's a very Tai Chi way of doing things in that we're not combating disease at all. We're actually transforming things upward in frequency. So we're taking slow energy thoughts, feelings, and emotions and transforming them into higher energy thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And that ultimately has an effect on your cellular level.
And let's tell people what, and let's remind people what are the slow energies, because it does help us to, you know, be cognizant about what we're doing. And I love your book. I really recommend that people check sourceenergyresearch.com and check both your remedies, the labels, and the book. And we'll talk about the labels in a minute.
Yeah. Thank you, Veronica. What I consider slow energy thoughts, feelings, and emotions are... you know, if you use your body as a barometer and you think a thought and you're not sure if it's a high-energy thought, feeling, or emotion or a slow-energy thought, feeling, and emotion, your body will tell you. And most of the slow-energy thought, feelings, and emotions are shame and guilt and fear, apathy, grief, and variations of those. Judgments and betrayal and hatred are probably the most detrimental to our energy field. And then fast energy or high energy thoughts, feelings, and emotions are love, gratitude, joy, forgiveness.
Courage? What about courage?
Yeah, courage, absolutely.
Okay.
Forgiveness is a huge one. Forgiveness is the way out of judgment. Trust, generosity, compassion, peace, faith, hope. Joy, all of those would be considered high-energy thoughts, feelings, and emotions.
There was one that I was reading about, and I was talking to my partner about it, about resistance.
Yes.
And I've been noticing lately, for the last couple of months, I'm always on some project with myself and I'm learning, but I noticed resistance is a big deal that I'm trying to or at least be aware of when it comes up.
Yeah.
And
that's brilliant to recognize, and most people don't recognize that. And that's another very unique aspect of source energy medicine. And we look at resistance as, so if someone is struggling with a cancer, they have a strong resistance to pure positive health that naturally flows to them.
Hmm.
So on number one, they would have a calibration that's below 200. Number two, they would have strong resistance to pure positive health that naturally flows to them. And the other side of resistance is allowance. So they would have a low allowance to pure positive energy of ideal health.
Hmm.
So from my perspective, whether it's a disease or a lack of anything in any aspect of your life, those three factors will be common. A low an energy level that's specifically calibrated below 200, strong resistance to that thing, and then weak attitude of allowance or weak allowance of that thing. So if we're looking at a physical issue, we would first increase the energy level and then transform all of the forms of resistance. And we have a variety of remedies specifically that work on resistance.
Okay, Stephen, the thing that people at home probably don't know is your remedies. Talk about those, like how people will create remedies with your assistance and your labels.
So our book, Heal Thyself, explains the entire source energy medicine methodology. There are lists of all of the remedies, descriptions of all the remedies, sample protocols to figure out how to incorporate them into your life, what to take. We also sell separately from the book a set of charging labels that people then take and put on spring water bottles of spring water. And the charging labels actually structure and charge the water molecules into a particular vibration, frequency, and arrangement. And we have about 170 different source energy medicines. And each one molecularly, the water molecules are structured and arranged differently. And so essentially what folks end up taking, whether it's an ELP or a remedy that works on transforming resistance to a particular issue, you're drinking water that has the particular vibration or frequency of that specific issue.
But it's not like homeopathic.
It's very different from homeopathic because homeopathy is a dilution of substance.
Right.
And dilution to the point where there's nothing but vibration. We're starting at the place where homeopathy ends up.
And your vibration is getting in step with that vibration and moving up?
Yeah, and it goes way beyond what homeopathy is capable of doing. Our remedies are far more specific, far more precise, in my judgment, than homeopathy. And I'm not bad-mouthing homeopathy. I think homeopathy is quite wonderful and powerful. We just are going perhaps in the next few steps of beyond what homeopathy is capable of doing or what homeopathy today is looking at.
Well, I know in the vibrational arts, it's really hard to absolutely prove what you're saying, but I think it's now time for you to talk about going to Emoto's lab.
Yeah, so for the first few years, we only had experiential results to prove that we're able to take a label, put it on a bottle of water, turn it into a remedy. We only had feedback from people saying, I had this disease, I took your remedies, and now I don't have that disease. We also had dowsing as a way of confirming our research and kinesiology as a way of confirming our research. But we didn't have a fully credible scientific method of proving that we're able to change the molecular structure of water and that each of the 170 different source energy medicines are actually different if you were to analyze them. The first breakthrough that we had, or the first validation of our work that is somewhat scientifically credible, is the work of Dr. Emoto. And he, at his lab in Tokyo, we had several of our remedies analyzed, and for those who are familiar with Dr. Emoto, he has several books available and was featured in the film What the Bleak Do We Know, and he spent many, many years freezing samples of water and photographing them. And most water samples actually won't create a crystal. Water wants to be in a hexagonally shaped form. And when it is hexagonally shaped, it's essentially in its natural form, the way water wants to be, and it'll form a water crystal, quite a beautiful water crystal one photographed. If you take city tap water, it won't form a crystal.
Mm-hmm.
So we had several of our samples photographed at Dr. Emoto's lab, and each one forms a beautiful crystal, and each one is indeed unique.
And what we haven't mentioned to people who don't know this part of it, which is if you say really nasty things like shut up or I wish you were dead to water and then freeze it and get the crystal is really quite gross, isn't it?
It is. It's distorted. It won't come close to forming a hexagonally shaped crystal. Yeah, that was the second step that Dr. Emoto took. First, he started just photographing sources of water from all around the world. Then he realized, and there are a lot of physicists today studying water specifically for it because of its ability to be imprinted with information. And Dr. Emoto was one of the first people to actually show that by taking words and facing them into water and then taking samples of the water, freezing them, and photographing them. And a few minutes ago when we were talking about slow energy thoughts, feelings, and emotions, so if you show water shame or guilt or fear or apathy, it's not going to form a hexagonally shaped water crystal, and it's not very attractive to look at. If you show water love or gratitude or compassion, it forms beautiful, magnificent crystals, and they're all hexagonally shaped. So it's certainly a fantastic validation for our work.
And I want people at home to know that you actually were very involved with some flower essences and a group of practitioners and healers that sold them. What was it, Share the Healing?
Healers Who Share.
Yeah, and what I was intrigued by is you said many people are reactive to alcohol or these other tincture bases.
Yes.
But you and I guess others discovered that water was the greatest carrier of these essences. Is that right?
Yeah, what we were able to do is figured out a way of structuring the water molecules to a point where they're very stable and they did not need alcohol as a stabilizer.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. So this whole thing is really exciting. So then, so say I come to you and my vibration is about 175. Okay. my calibration is.
Yeah.
So what do? I start. I get some labels, right?
Yeah. So I would really suggest reading the book because you would then understand the entire methodology. You would understand how your energy level got to 175 in the first place. You'd understand what to do to prevent that from occurring in the future.
And one other delightful thing about your book is that you bring streams of other research that's been done in this field. So the book holds quite a weaving of the technologies that are being discovered at this time.
Yeah, yeah. And we do get, that's actually probably the single source of the most positive feedback that we receive, because people can relate to other books that they've read or other films that they've seen that talk about this sort of thing.
Well, you can get very overwhelmed because there's such a variety of sources, and you're like, which way do I go? And you've managed to bring all these into a nice basket. And then when you bring your remedies in to the book, I'm like, okay, I want this one, I want this one, I want this one, I want, you know.
Yeah, and it is very much intuitive, although we have a very simple sample protocol that people follow. And earlier in the show, you mentioned the fusion source energy medicines, which are somewhat of a recent technological breakthrough where we're able to combine entire groups of source energy medicines into a single remedy. So in the current sample protocol, there are only two or three remedies per step. And in the old protocol, there were about 25 remedies per step.
Oh, excellent.
So you would have 25 separate water bottles sitting on your counter, and you had to, you know, drink some of them every day. Now it's simply two or three remedies per step, with the exception of someone who's critically ill. If someone comes to me with stage 4 cancer or, you know, an issue where time is of the essence, they will certainly be taking more than two remedies at a time. But the average person, two to three remedies is all that they need.
Hmm. What about mental health things or Alzheimer's and deteriorating factors?
Absolutely, yeah. From my perspective, there's no such thing as an incurable disease.
Hmm.
And I can say that really from experience. I've worked with enough clients, and they have proven me wrong enough times that I have gotten to the point, and I've been here for the past 8 or so years where I don't really care what the doctors are calling it. It's all essentially the same energy calibrating and vibrating at different frequencies, and it's manifesting in different areas or aspects.
So are you saying, Stephen, that, for example, if someone has macular degeneration, he could actually regenerate his cell replication capacity better and...
Yes.
And recreate a healthy eye, if you will?
Yeah, that's actually a brilliant question, Veronica. So we have remedies that actually transform what we don't want, and then we have remedies that institute an attitude of allowance of what we do want. Mm-hmm. Then we have remedies that balance organs and functions and systems, and we have remedies that restore organs and functions and systems.
And that's because you put the labels word-facing in on bottles of water. And how long do the bottles of water have to sit to be energized?
It takes about an hour to completely make a remedy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's not a long time. I was thinking it was like days and days.
It takes about an hour. It doesn't take much time at all.
So how on earth did you energize the labels?
There's the technology that's within the labels. Is a rather complicated process to explain, and it's that was years and years of research that went into that. But we essentially narrowed it down to a numeric code that represents the formula, and that's why one remedy, when photographed or analyzed with Raman spectroscopy, which is a fully credible scientific means. It can show that the water molecules are clustered and arranged differently in this one than they are in that one.
So what is Raman spectroscopy?
Raman spectroscopy is an instrument that uses a laser beam to identify a substance.
Okay.
And it analyzes the molecular structure of the substance. So if... it's used quite often to identify unknown substances. You know, there's a jar of something and no one knows what it is. Raman spectroscopy will analyze that substance, put it into a database, and based on the molecular structure, it'll tell you what it is.
Hmm.
So Raman is able to identify about 100 and, I think it's about 190 different molecular structures just for water.
Hmm.
And we've had several of our remedies analyzed with Raman spectroscopy, and it shows that within each one, even though each remedy came from the same exact source in the exact same case of water and analyzed within just a few minutes of each other, it's as if they're different substances.
Yay, wow.
Is able to identify the subtle differences and the changes in the structure of the hydrogen and oxygen molecules.
Hmm.
So it's very exciting for us, and it's the first fully credible scientific method that we have that proves what we do.
Woo-hoo, because it's really hard to prove any of this stuff, especially when there's a human variable and it's all etheric and
it is.
So on. I'm jumping around here. On a soul journey, of course, this is my work, because a lot of time is helping people get right into their soul journey and the authenticity of self. And sometimes like people get caught in the karmic wheels and the attachment to other souls and the, you know, what's the difference between destiny and self-creation and all of that. Does it work on that kind of thing as well?
It does. We have remedies specifically. What I find is that specifically with karmic issues, there is a lot of confusion in that it's like having a new computer that has old software installed.
And I think you get pulled into sort of duty as well as drive or something.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of confusion. And we can carry forward into this incarnation karma from other lifetimes, except our software thinks that we're still working on those issues. So we have a remedy to transform karmic debris, meaning the residue from old karma, from old soul contracts that's no longer applicable.
Wow.
And what I've experienced and what I hear from many, many, many people is, for the first time, there's clarity. There's the ability to see what it is that I'm here to do, you know, what I'm here to work on, and not be pulled in 16 different directions, and all of them seem interesting and wonderful and fantastic, it's a very, very powerful.
And it might unhook a lot of family. I was dealing with family of origin issues and the holidays before we started talking, and I'm you know, on my other show. And thinking it'd be very interesting to release some of that combative stuff that goes on with family of origin and those deep kind of pains that go on, and a lot
exactly.
of it's very karmic stuff, isn't it?
I totally agree. And that's another thing that happens when you increase your energy level too, because a lot of that stuff is slow energy.
Right.
And a lot of that is left over from the energy, the earth energy that we're leaving.
So you're putting all the psychologists out of business.
No, we're actually helping psychologists tremendously and helping
Great.
Their clients tremendously. We have a lot of therapists of one form or another who are very excited by this work. It's very empowering.
Yeah.
And,
I'm very excited about it as you talk about it.
They certainly may be making less money per client, but the positive results that their clients are getting are bringing them more business than... And growing their business more, and more people are being helped. So, yeah, I'm not looking. And that's actually a really good point. The book, Heal Thyself, is not designed or intended to put any practitioners out of business. In fact, I mean, we offer practitioner workshops where we teach practitioners how to incorporate this work into their practice.
I think it's great.
And fully use it.
I was really quite teasing you, Stephen.
I appreciate your teasing, but I don't want anyone who doesn't get that we're teasing, because I spend a large majority of my time supporting practitioners.
Yeah, I
don't want to take practitioners out of the loop, and I'm using the term practitioner, which is a very broad umbrella, and a lot of people fit under that. But to have a very skilled, talented practitioner guide a person through this process is infinitely more helpful than trying to do it on your own.
Well, with 2012 coming up and the shifting frequencies in our reality, there's a lot of people going through changes faster than ever expected. And, you know, I think we have to have our intention at the wheel there. But I know that the collective can really shift beautifully over the next time. And it's all hands on deck. We all need to help each other.
Absolutely. And as I agree, we're moving into this energy and have been moving into this energy faster than anyone imagined. And as we get closer and closer to 2012, if your energy level is below 200, your life is going to become infinitely more uncomfortable than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the ultimate wake-up call. Either get it and get on board, or it's going to be misery. And I don't mean to sound like, fire and brimstone, but that's the reality. And anyone whose energy level is calibrated above 200, it's going to be a fantastic, graceful, wonderful, abundant journey.
Now, I'm going to have to draw to a close, but I want to ask this, if you've done any calibrations with Mother Earth herself or the universe?
No, Dr. Hawkins has, though. Dr. Hawkins has spent 35 or so years calibrating everything under the sun. I focus specifically on people and assisting people with their specific challenges.
I'm very excited.
You can calibrate anything. You can calibrate substances and beings and plants and animals, and I do work with a lot of animals, and we're actually about to come out with a line of source energy medicines that are species specific for dogs, cats, and horses.
Wonderful. Well, I'm very excited about your work, and I would like you to give people your, how do they get in touch with you? How do they find out about the labels and the what did you call them? The waters, the healing waters that they can create with your help.
Yeah, our main website is www.heal-thyself.tv. So that's HEAL-THYSELF.tv, like television. And the name of the book is Heal Thyself. And there's a lot of information that's available on our website. There are a couple of videos that we've produced that the feedback that we receive is quite positive. It helps people to, in a very short period of time, very effortless, get a good taste for what we have to offer.
Yeah, I like those videos. They're very helpful.
Thank you.
And the other one, what about sourceenergyresearch.com? Is that?
That would be directed to a parallel site. They're both essentially the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
people know our company name, which is Source Energy Research. And we have that website for people to be able to access us that way.
Well, I just love the work you're doing. I'm very, very excited to get to work on my own labels and so on, your labels, on me.
Well, thank you, Veronica. It's been a pleasure being on your show. I truly appreciate it.
It has been a wonderful, uplifting experience, and I wish you the very best of the season, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Veronica.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Well, this is Veronica Entwistle. That was our paradigm shifter who's making a huge difference in the consciousness of the collective and the species by helping us move our energy fields. Remember, love is a real high, much higher energy, and I send you all much love as we enter the holiday season, and may we spread that all over the world. See you next week.